Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Don Marsh and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
God, the honors of thy name.
I like this contemporary praise song. How could you not like it? With its enthusiastic response to God's call. Today's message is entitled, To Know About God. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The scripture lesson today is the 23rd Psalm. David said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. I remember as I stood there, I asked the question, Is there a special scripture you'd like me to use? Oh, please, she said. Please read the 23rd Psalm. Mother loved the 23rd Psalm. You know, I cannot tell you how many times I've been asked to read the 23rd Psalm at the funeral of a loved one. Think how many times you've heard of it. I mean, it's absolutely incredible to me that this ancient text has such powerful significance among Christians and with non-Christians. What I mean, you know, so often I'm asked to hold funeral services for persons that are not even connected to a local church. Frequently, family members cannot determine when the last time the deceased person attended a church with any sort of regularity. But I can tell you, with rare exceptions, someone in the family always asks, will you read the 23rd Psalm in the service? Well, I want to talk about it with you just a minute. Now, remember that there are 150 Psalms in the Old Testament. Current scholarship teaches us that Psalms were written across a dozen or so centuries. Now, they also ascribe many of the Psalms to David, King David. Now, in kind of a broad range, we can say that the Psalms were written between 2,500 and 3,500 years ago. Now, without getting technical, though, I want you to think about the content of these ancient words. Keep in mind that they were written when people lived in tents. They were nomadic people. They fought with rocks and spears and swords and bows and arrows. They had practically no mass communication, I guess none at all, really, except word of mouth. Now, what I want you to rethink, though, is that in the Psalms, you'll find nearly every human emotion in every situation. Think about it. They're all there. Love, hate, joy, fear, excitement, passion, guilt, failure, freedom, trust, boredom, abandonment, lust. I mean, they're all right there. You know, I've asked myself, how in the world did these ancient writers know about such things? Some of the Psalms you see are poems. Some of them are songs. Some are hymns. Some are deep, rich prayers. These Psalms, for the hearers, became a means of telling their story, the story of their faith. They were, for them, much like our affirmations of faith, like even for us, like the Lord's Prayer and our favorite hymns. Now, out of these 150 Psalms, which one of them do you know best? Think about it. I'll bet you you're going to say the 23rd Psalm. Well, I've kept asking myself, what is there about this text, this particular one, that somehow invites itself into our lives without invitation and just seems to stay there? There are only six verses in the 23rd Psalm. Well, I think it's because it teaches us about what God is like and how God feels about us. Say that to yourself. It teaches us what God is like and how God feels about us. Now, we do not know the exact setting for the writing or the delivery of this lesson, but scholars do believe that David was talking to an audience. David, you see, was a leader. Even as a boy, he was a leader. Remember, this is the same David who as a teenager fought the giant Philistine warrior Goliath and saved King Saul's army. He is the David whose passion for Bathsheba led him to put her husband Uriah in front of a battle that he might be killed, and of course he was. He is the same father whose beloved son Absalom tried to overthrow him. David is the same grieving parent who wept deep, painful tears when that son Absalom was killed and was found hanging from a tree by his own hair. David is the king to whom the house and lineage of Jesus is traced. Now, I do not know who was in the audience that day, but my hunch is that they were there because they knew about David. They knew his life was filled with stress and fear and failure and grief and joy and passion and temptation. They knew that David survived whatever the situation was and grew strong because of his relationship with God. You see, I think, and this is just John Wolfe's hunch, but I think someone said, David, tell us, what is God like? Now, how do you know this God to whom you pray night and day? Tell us what he is like. I mean, we see what's going on. They could just see David's life, and I think David reached back into his heart of hearts, to his boyhood days, and he said, well, I'll tell you what God is like. God is like a shepherd. Now, you see, they all knew that a shepherd took loving care of his sheep, and he often risked his own life for his sheep. Then David began to paint a picture for them of a hungry sheep, a sheep going into lush green pastures and finding crystal clear water on a hot summer day. He talked about facing danger so harsh that he feared for his life. Then there was the part about preparing a table in the face of his enemies. Now, you see, those listening knew that to prepare the table for a shepherd, well, it meant for the shepherd going into a field before the sheep came in. It meant searching the field for anything that might harm the sheep, cleaning out the thorns and the poisonous weeds and chasing away predators. Isn't that incredible? Well, finally, David said, and I believe that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, for those Hebrew listeners, this was so overwhelming. You see, the holiest place the person could go was to the temple, that is, to the house of the Lord. But now you see, when you were exiled by some crime of passion or deed that you did, you were usually forever disbarred from the house of the Lord. David should have been, by all rights, should have been exiled from the house of the Lord. But you know what David said to those persons that day? He said, the shepherd-like God whom I serve will forgive me, and he will call me back to his house because he loves me in spite of my brokenness. Now, if you were there that day, you would have been thinking about the fierce, harsh, legalistic God of judgment that they knew, especially when you had done as many sinful things as David. But David was revealing a God to whom he had entrusted his life. David was always honest with God. Oh, I hope you remember that. David was always honest with God, and he always sought forgiveness. David knew that God knew exactly who he was and what he was. You see, David was actually a wise and good and just man, but he also was a man who was so full of life that he often exceeded the limits. His strength was his weakness. It's like that for everyone. You see, his passion and his power blurred reality. Yet in the loneliness and solitude of David's life, he always went before God, seeking forgiveness and seeking guidance. Now, listen, this does not mean that one can do anything they want to and just say, I'm sorry, and forget it. It does not mean that you can say, just do it, and let the chips fall where they may. And if you hurt someone, all you have to do is pray, and then you're exonerated. No, no. This does not mean that you and I are not finally responsible for our acts. We are individually responsible for what we do. We can't blame anyone else. You see, but it does mean that trusting one's life to God makes it possible to go through the tough places and find a refuge. It means being able to find some cool water in an understanding, loving heart. It does mean that when you feel the pain of discouragement and personal failure, it is possible to find the courage to go on with life with even more strength and passion than before. Did you remember that the knots on a tree where the limbs have been cut off or broken off, those are the strongest places on a tree? Last fall, I met with a young father and husband. This young father had violated his vows of marriage with his wife. He had been through such pressures on his job, and he was fearful about his own abilities, and he had gotten to the place where life was so difficult that he felt like he wasn't worth very much. When I saw him a few days later, he said to me, I spent the last 3 nights in the mountains. I just had to go off. About all I could do was pray the 23rd Psalm. He said, you know, it sounds crazy, but that's all I could think of. And I felt God's presence with me. It was so strange, John, he said. Then he said, I'm going back to Tammy and the girls. God has forgiven me, and now I'm going back to ask them to forgive me too. God has forgiven me, John, and he's given me another chance, and I'm not going to pass it up this time. I want you to know the report is good. He did go back, his family did forgive him, and their family has worked hard together, and they're together stronger than before. Well, 3,000 years or so after David wrote these words for some unknown eager audience, I stood at the funeral of a young mother who, before she died, had written a book for her 4-year-old daughter. The book was about her life and her love for her family and for her daughter. The pages were filled with dreams and hopes and encouragement. On one page, she had written the words, Remember, honey, the Lord is your shepherd. He was mine. And you know, she wrote David's words as though they were her own. I read the 23rd Psalm that day, as the family had requested. But somehow, when I read those words, everyone felt a remarkable presence of God. You see, for them, it was a very, very sacred moment. In the name of Christ, amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, it's amazing when you consider that in America, we have over 1,000 different Christian denominations. I mean, that's really incredible. Each one of us has a different style of organization and various theological differences. It's really hard to comprehend that because we all have Jesus at the center of our understanding. But one thing I do know is that of all the different churches I know about, they all have missions as part of who they are. The key task of any church is to spread the gospel and to care for one another and to care for everyone they can reach outside the church. I know that in our church alone, we have sent teams to Africa, Mexico, hurricane relief, disaster groups, and so many local missions. But I hope in this season we have right now, this place of so much chaos in the world, that the church across the world, would come together as one mighty force of hope and healing, and not allow our differences to hold us back. One of our reconciliation team members is a Catholic priest. He goes by the name of Chaco. He said, John, on the mission field, we operate as one. We forget our denominational differences. Because our work is so difficult, we need each other to be able to do it. What a great word for all of us to remember. And I want to thank you today for being with us on Methodist Hour. Our website is methodisthourinternational.com, methodisthourinternational.com. You can call or text me on my cell, direct to me, 678-488-2162, 678-488-2162. And I really appreciate the texts that have come to me. Blessings be upon all of you. In His name, amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.